One of those keenly involved in higher ed funding in this state is Illinois State University President Larry Dietz. He joins us each month during Sound Ideas. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
Nothing of any import in state government will happen until after the election next month. You have played a vital role in helping to frame the position of public higher education administrators. You convene weekly conference calls with the presidents and chancellors to discuss strategy as funding levels are debated in the General Assembly. First, give us an update on the latest. What is the latest talk among you and your peers as to where things stand right now?
Well, we've been told that legislators are pretty busy trying to get reelected and elected. And so with their campaigning, they haven't had a lot of time to have conversations very much with leadership in higher education. We certainly understand that. But as a group, we've really been talking about post-election strategies and been doing some good work along those lines, trying to get ourselves to organized and our students organized to take up the cause after the election. A couple of other things that I've been working on here locally is putting together a group of folks, and that group has included K-12 superintendents, as well as the president of Illinois Wesleyan, the president of Heartland Community College, and myself, talking about the timing of decisions, which is as important, maybe not as important as the budget, but timing of decisions related to the budget has also been an area that we've wanted to improve. And so we're putting together some timing patterns with that, and hope to get together with some local legislators to talk about that probably in the next, again, soon after the election.
Yeah, and with the election here, a lot of things will happen. I guess the everything pent up will break loose when the November 8th comes and goes. The state legislature dynamics are going to be changing. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with the election, but we do know that Ron Sandak and Matt Murphy, a couple of Republicans, have stepped down as major players. They are Republicans, so they don't have a great say in the legislature, but they do have great say in their party. Do you guys talk about anything like that when you get together with your group of presidents?
Well, we do. We talk a little more globally than that, but whenever there are occasions where there's a change that occurs in the presidents that are in those particular districts and so forth that have those changes, we do talk a little bit about some strategy there. But we're not anticipating huge change in the election on the 8th of November. There might be a seat or two gathered by either party. But overall, the bottom line is that we still need a budget. Here we are in October, again, without a budget. Last year ended with no budget. We are still paying bills off from last year, and so we need a budget, and we need decisions on that. And so hopefully whoever is elected or reelected will redouble their efforts to try to help us out with that.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern, and we're visiting with the president of Illinois State University, Larry Dietz. This fall, there is a documentary film about public higher education funding nationwide making the rounds. It's called Starving the Beast, and it premiered last month. The promotional material for the film says it, quote, tells the story of a potent 1-2 punch roiling public higher education right now, 35 years of systemic defunding and a well-financed, market-oriented reform effort. It's the story of a little-known and misunderstood ideological fight, the outcome of which will change the future of public higher education. Now, the material goes on to suggest that a historic philosophical shift that reframes public higher education as a value proposition to be borne by the student as a consumer rather than investment in citizens as a public good, financial winners and losers emerge in a struggle poised to profoundly change public higher education. Now, here's a clip from the documentary of that, the trailer of this documentary, just to kind of give you a little flavor of what it's about.
The existing system creates barriers to entry that limit competition.
There's $150 billion in federal financial aid that is on the line.
It's created a very toxic ideology.
The fallout continues tonight over the ousting of University of Virginia President Teresa Sullivan.
Tom Ross is the president of the UNC system. He was shoved out by the UNC Board of Governors.
Mike McKinney, who was the chancellor of the Texas A&M system at the time, was pushed out.
Some politicians became at odds when Powers refused to implement a series of reforms that make the university more like a business.
The governor is calling his plan Act 10 for the UW and says he believes they can handle the $300 million cut he's proposed.
Because of our reforms today, there is no seniority or tenure in our state.
Now, that's the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, talking about changes that he helped orchestrate in public higher education collective bargaining there. It's from the documentary Starving the Beast about threats to higher education funding. In your State of the University message last month, you highlighted the stepped-up political attacks and the evaporating public support. Is there a coordinated attack on higher education in Illinois, would you say?
I have not detected any concerted effort on the part of elected officials or business leaders or anyone like that. I think the bottom line is that the state of Illinois is having terrific financial difficulties. The difficulties that we're facing in higher education is a byproduct of that larger issue. I do think that it's time to talk about the value proposition of higher education. Higher education is not an expense. It should be an investment. By definition, the students that we graduate are going to get better jobs and pay more taxes because they have better jobs and higher salaries. So we're really part of the solution. We're not a part of the problem. And so we ought to be, in my estimation, valued more highly by the state. I think there's a legitimate public policy question in that whole more sociological issue about, you know, who pays and who benefits. And 20 or 30 years ago, I think the common theme was that the society benefits by having an educated society, and so therefore society should pay more, and they did. I think we're at the other end of that spectrum now, where a lot of folks are saying, well, the individual benefits more by an education, so the individual should pay more. And those are legitimate public policy questions to bat back and forth, but I do think the value proposition is one that needs to be funded. Public institutions do provide a common good, and we provide solid educated citizens who pay more in taxes because they're prepared to do that.
Now, ISU's success in these financially strapped times over the last couple of decades has been well documented. ISU has performed very well. So doesn't this success in recruiting and retaining students, high-quality students in the face of dwindling state support, fit the narrative of someone who wants to cut state support, point to ISU and say, it'll work, and here's a good example of how?
Well, I think, you know, if we had adjustments that needed to be made, and the trend line would show that the state is backing away from higher education, and it's done that for many, many years. The issue is this last year with no budget was the terrifically negative effect that, first of all, not having any decision on anything until April, and then very little money in April, but a stopgap measure. Stopgap measure again in June, but that was devoted to FY17. We still are paying a lot of bills from 16 and don't have the money to do all of that. And our sister institutions, most of them are in worse shape than we are related to that. So we're getting along all right, and our enrollment's strong. But there comes a time where we can't continue to take these kind of cuts that most people would say are really extreme.
When it comes to private support, Illinois State continues to break records. Year-end totals for private fundraising show the second-best year ever. How much of this is brought on by the well-told story of lagging support in Springfield, and how much of it is just hard work by your development people?
Well, first of all, our advancement folks do work hard. They work hard at making friends and then raising funds, and usually those go hand in hand. And so they do work hard. I've been traveling a great deal. My wife has been doing the same. We've been with that team. Matter of fact, we just were in Texas not long ago. We have other places we go and meet alums all the time. So we tell the story about the positivity of the university and where we are. Most of that travel is outside of the state of Illinois, and so some don't know the story as well about the state of Illinois and the problems that the state's having, and then vis-a-vis the institution. What we've found is that people also want to tell us their positive stories, which are always great to listen to, and they're making contributions because they believe in the quality of education that they received here and the opportunities that that quality has provided them in their careers, and they're willing to pay back. So they're interested in the fiscal challenges, but they're really investing in the university because they've had such a great experience here. I just wish the state would do the same.
And I guess if there were a direct inverse relationship between a lack of public support and an increase in private support, you would see that manifested elsewhere besides Illinois State, right?
Sure, sure. But we do have a great story to tell. It's a story of quality. And as one individual told me not long ago, he's lives in Arizona now. He said, I learned two things at Illinois State University. He said, first of all, I became competent in my field. And when I went out of here to get a job, they recognized that I was competent in my field. I was prepared. And with that, then, as you perform, you gain confidence because you can do the job. And when you get that confidence, it circles back around to trying something at a higher level. And then once you do that, you gain the competence at that, and that cycles to the confidence. And he said, that's really what has made me successful. And this was a gentleman that was honored by one of our colleges recently. So I think it's that competence and confidence story that really is has been very important.
And speaking of fundraising, a year from now, you're going to be launching the next comprehensive campaign for Illinois State University. How does a president get ready for something like that? How do you prepare for that fundraising? You've already raised a heck of a lot of money in the last few years.
Well, it's a continual process. It's a continual job. If it was a one day and done, it would be a different story. But most of these campaigns take several years to accomplish their goals, and we've been in a silent phase of that for a while, and we're being very successful. And our alums and our donors and friends and corporate contributions have come in good shape, but the job's not done. So we're still traveling. I'm still delighted to be telling the story of Illinois State University, and it's been accepted very well, and I'll continue to do that.
Larry Dietz is the president of Illinois State, and he appears each month during Sound Ideas. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.